UNF pollster and assistant professor Mike Bender joins us now with a closer look at what the new poll numbers reveal. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being with us. So you've been putting a lot of polls in the field lately, Mike. This new one looks at the state of the governor's race. What did you find?
It's a close race. So some other folks have come out and had Charlie Crist a little bit further ahead of Rick Scott. Our survey, and this is important to notice, we added a little bit different wording to the question. We included a somebody else option. And that somebody else option got 17%. And if you combine that with the folks that weren't sure, it's about a third across the board. So I think that tells me a couple of things. One, that the state isn't necessarily in love with either candidate. But from the candidate's perspective, I think it shows opportunity. I think there's people to be won over during the course of the campaign throughout the rest of the year.
A sizable percentage, you think, of Florida voters are movable?
Absolutely. I think there's a large chunk of folks that are movable and have the, if they can be convinced either that the governor's done a good job or that Charlie Crist is a better option, I think there's votes to be won there.
Let us know who will be getting your vote for governor as we discuss the results of the latest UNF poll. The number to join us, 549-2937. And so with this data, how can the campaigns then capitalize on the fact that the lines haven't necessarily hardened? There's still a lot of time left for each campaign to try to win that block of voters to their side.
And interestingly, unlike the presidential campaigns where it seems like you can't start the race soon enough, the governor's race, both candidates are dragging their feet a little bit. Rick Scott always come out with an ad or two recently, but not big time. He's waiting essentially for the legislative session to wrap up. I think he wants to be able to point to some new initiatives, some tax cuts, and some increased spending. I suspect, once the session closes in early May, that this thing is really going to kick off into high gear.
Sure. And of course, the governor's campaign war chest much bigger than Charlie Crist's. As you said as well, both of these candidates have significant baggage.
Yes.
And there's so much material that either side can use.
Yes.
to throw at the opponent.
From the governor's perspective, he had a tough first couple of years in office with difficult budgets. When you have shrinking budgets, you have to make cuts in states, and that's very unpopular. On the flip side, you have Charlie Crist, who was formerly a Republican, then an independent, now a Democrat. The real interesting thing is, how does the base respond to that? The base of the Democratic Party, not just will they vote for him, because when compared to Rick Scott, he's a much more moderate option. He's going to be their preferred choice. But will they get excited? Will they go out and get their friends to donate money? Will they go out and knock on doors on Saturdays and Sundays and in the evenings? That's the real question. And it's yet to be answered.
549-2937. We'll go to your calls in just a moment on the latest UNF political poll. Well, and we need to point out as well, there is a declared candidate on the Democratic side, Nan Rich. She is also seeking the Democratic nomination, but you ran this poll with the assumption that Charlie Crist, that the Democrats in Florida will probably coalesce around him. They might see him as a more viable opponent to Governor Scott.
Well, to be fair, there's 20 plus declared candidates in the governor's race,
right,
ranging from Libertarian candidates to Green Party candidates to a slew of Democrats and Republicans. Nan Rich and Charlie Crist are the two largest names. Nan Rich has some legislative experience and has her name brought up that way. There has been some, we did some work in the fall comparing Nan Rich to Rick Scott and Charlie Crist to Rick Scott, and Charlie Crist did much better. And the name recognition of the former governor, I think, is a clear advantage for him.
And your poll also found that Rick Scott is sitting at about a 45% approval rating,
which is not necessarily particularly good from an incumbent. You want to be over that 50% number. But on the flip side, there's more people that approve of him than disapprove of him, and there's a lot of uncertainty. So it's certainly not a death knell, but you would like to see that number a little bit higher from the governor's perspective.
We'll go to your calls in just a moment at 549-2937 as we discuss the latest data on the governor's race and other interesting hot issues. Including that ballot amendment issue, Mike, that would ask the state's voters whether or not to legalize medical marijuana here in Florida. Your poll found overwhelming support for that.
Overwhelming support. And this is, I want to say I was a little bit surprised, but in retrospect, maybe I shouldn't have been. The country is very much supportive of this. These numbers are in line with polls nationally. They're in line with polls in other states. People are of the mindset in large numbers, hey, listen, if this can help somebody, why not? You know, we've seen the kids with epilepsy. We've heard the stories with cancer patients and AIDS patients and the nausea with the treatments that are involved there. So there's widespread support, and it'll be interesting to see how this plays out because typically ballot measures do tend to lose some support as you get closer to the election. It'll be interesting to see if they can keep above that 60% benchmark that's required in Florida.
And you also asked your poll group about the state Stand Your Ground law.
Yes, Stand Your Ground has gotten a lot of press, very little of it good in the last couple of years. And I think based on the feedback that we got from our callers, and I think there's some uncertainty about exactly what Stand Your Ground means in the public. But we asked folks if people should have a duty to retreat or at least make reasonable efforts to retreat before resorting to deadly force. 62% of the population in the state of Florida of registered voters said, yeah, we think people ought to make some efforts to reasonably retreat, which is not at all Stand Your Ground. And I think that's something interesting, and doesn't look like the legislature is going to be doing anything with it this session, but I think it's something to keep your eye on in the future.
And lots of calls meanwhile as we discuss the results of the latest UNF poll taking the pulse of Florida voters. What are your thoughts about the governor's race, medical marijuana, the state Stand Your Ground law? We want your calls. 549-2937. Let's go to Ed in Orange Park this morning. Hello, Ed.
Yes. Hey, Melissa, chicken soup is the secret, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I just remind me of a joke that you have a Democrat, a Republican, and an independent go to a bar, and the bartender says, hey, Charlie, how are you?
That's a good one.
It's that's the problem I think he has, is that nobody's actually sure when he speaks which side of the coin he's really talking this week. So, but his advantage is that he's not Scott. So some people will go for him just because he knows the governor. He knows the current governor.
And Ed, who will you vote for?
I'm going to vote for Scott. I think the economy is doing a lot better, and I like the way he micromanaged as far as a businessman, the efficiency, and he's trying to give some of the tax money back. At the same time, he's increasing the money for schools, and scientific budget now is allowing him to do so. He's
Thank you, Ed.
Like a normal human being.
Thank you, Ed. Okay, so as he pointed out, Rick Scott can say, well, Charlie Crist keeps changing his positions, and look what I've done with the economy.
Right. When Rick Scott ran in 2010, he ran on three things: jobs, jobs, and more jobs. And unemployment's down around 6%. Jobs are, the economy's much better. And from a sitting governor's perspective, the budgets are really growing, and they have a lot more money to spend in Tallahassee. And when you have money to spend, you can make friends. You can give money back to education that maybe you took away in the previous years. You can cut taxes, maybe reducing car registration fees that maybe were risen under the previous administration. So there are some things that really play into the governor's favor, which is interesting because if you were to look at this race just from those perspectives, you'd say, why isn't he up by 20 points?
Right. And the reason for that is?
He has some personality problems, and he's made some choices that have angered some folks in the past couple of years. And those are hard to overcome.
And so do you see this race then, Mike, as in the end, will that group of voters that are movable, will they vote for the candidate that they see as more likable?
They sometimes do. Likeability matters. As much as you might think from the hardened observing perspective, oh, you want to vote for the right policies, but likability matters. But on the flip side, trust matters, and knowing what the person is going to do in the future, which is something that the caller just brought up. You know, can you trust Charlie Crist going forward? I think it's going to be a close race either way, and it's going to come
down. And the most expensive in state history, for sure.
Probably, for sure. Yeah, it's certainly shaping up that way.
Let's go to Lisa in Jacksonville. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. I just wanted to comment about Amendment 1 that will be on the ballot in November. And this amendment hasn't been mentioned, but it is one called Florida Water and Land Amendment, and it would continue Florida Forever funding in the state of Florida.
Okay, and you'll be voting yes on that?
Yes, I was hoping everybody would.
Thank you for that, Lisa. How many ballot amendments will we be faced with?
It doesn't look like very many, which is in stark contrast to 2012, where we had 11 of them.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, well,
they pared it back.
I come from California, where you can have a dozen on any given ballot.
But Amendment 2 is the one that you polled on,
yeah,
medical marijuana.
We polled on medical marijuana, but I do want to address the caller's mentioning of that amendment. This is something that's interesting. I suspect it will pass. I've seen absolutely zero polling data about it, but only because by and large, when you say, okay, here we're gonna spend a little bit of money and we're gonna do it for the environment, we're gonna buy up some land, everybody's like, yeah, sure, that sounds like a great idea.
Sure, who's against that?
Exactly. So I think the caller is hopefully gonna be in for a good day on election day for herself.
And it's 549-2937. Mike on the west side. Hi, Mike. Thanks for holding.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. A couple comments. Rick Scott's not good. His poll numbers aren't up for precisely the reason the gentleman spoke of before. He's upset the conservatives with his giving money back to schools and whatnot. He's lost their votes. Those conservatives are going to sit on their hands this next race. Charlie Crist, yeah, he flopped to the Democrat side. But as anybody that pays attention to the news knows, the Republicans are going further right. And, of course, Charlie Crist is a moderate. And we all know that the Republicans don't want moderates in their party right now. So it only made sense for him to do what he did. He would have won as an independent if that other Democrat, I forget the other person that ran last time, they would have dropped out. Charlie Crist would have won. We would never have Rick Scott. So, I mean, this really isn't much of an issue if everybody just kind of said, we already know what Charlie Crist is like. He was already governor. It's not like this is a new face on the block. We already know what his skills are. We already know what he brings to the table. We already know a lot about Charlie Crist. So this is a no-brainer. Thank you.
Okay, that's Mike on the west side. Sounds like he's going to be voting for Crist.
Right. And I think you're going to see that there's going to be some folks on both sides of this issue. And it's going to be a close race. And I think it's going to come down to turnout, whoever can get out their supporters most efficiently.
Here's a tweet from Mike. I'm a Democrat in Nassau County. I'm excited about going door to door and canvassing for Charlie Crist. Voldemort, that's a pejorative nickname for Governor Scott, has got to go. Okay, so that's one Democrat saying, yes, they are enthusiastic about Crist.
And Crist is going to need a lot more of that. It's clear that the Republicans are behind Rick Scott, conservative or not. The party's very supportive. There's a lot of enthusiasm. And Charlie Crist is going to need that. He's going to need Democrats that are knocking on doors and calling their friends and asking for money and all that.
And if you're just joining us, a new UNF poll finds Charlie Crist leads Rick Scott by just one percentage point in a hypothetical matchup. Where do you stand? Let's go to Tom on the west side. Hi, Tom.
Good morning, Melissa. I hope you feel better.
Thank you. I'm okay.
All right. Anyway, I have a hard time trusting either one of the two candidates, so you'd have to put me firmly in the somebody else. I mean, Charlie Crist, his position keeps evolving, and the amount of money that Rick Scott is paying of his own for a relatively low-paying job seems intriguing.
So you don't know yet who will get your vote?
I would definitely be looking at other candidates.
All right, and that's Tom on the west side. Mike, your polling found that quite a few state voters just don't like either candidate.
Almost as much as would prefer either candidate. I mean, it was a dead heat essentially between those three choices. And so it's certainly not surprising that there's a lot of ambivalence out there. And, we'll see if either candidate can perhaps convince him and other folks that are on the fence, because there's a lot of them that maybe want somebody else to step in and they haven't yet.
Lots of emails and tweets. Here's one from a listener. I will most likely be voting for Crist. I think he has a better chance than the other Democrat. And on Twitter, here's a tweet. How much is Governor Scott hurt by his refusal to accept federal aid for rail and Medicaid expansion?
I suspect the Medicaid expansion doesn't necessarily hurt him a lot, although last year he flipped toward the end of the session in an effort to try and get that money. I think the folks that are very supportive of that weren't going to vote for him anyway, and the folks that are opposed to it were going to vote for him. So I think it's kind of a wash in that issue.
549-2937. James on the north side. Hi, James.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
I want to make a comment on the governor's race. I was really looking at Scott for a while, but when he come out, I guess his aide come out and said all the advances that he had made, President Obama had nothing to do with it, and this was all him, and that told me. And on top of that, he didn't want to do anything about the health care, trying to bring it to Florida. And, I mean, I signed up for the thing, and it's just wonderful. This should have been a long time coming. With that being said, that switched me over to Chris. I mean, it tells me that he's the kind of guy that don't seem like he wants to work with anybody. He's part of the Republican right-wing type of person that's not willing to work down the center to make things happen.
James, thanks for the call. That's certainly how Chris will try to position himself.
Absolutely. He was a moderate when he was a Republican. So to convince voters that he's anything other than a potential moderate as a Democrat, I think will be very disingenuous. And it'll be interesting to see if Chris does get elected, how he handles a very Republican state legislature.
Who will be hostile towards him.
Who will be very hostile, more hostile toward him than if a Democrat were to win, let's say, Alex Sink in 2010.
Now, you have polled on the governor's race, medical marijuana. You have some more polling data coming out this week, too, right?
We do. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about some of the other issues that are going on in Tallahassee right now. There has been a proposal to get undocumented Florida residents, students, to pay in-state tuition rates. We're going to have some numbers on that. We're going to have some numbers on facilities funding for higher education. And then also, what do you do about tuition rates? Tuition's been going higher and higher. The governor's been firm in his arguments to keep tuition low as possible. But what does that mean for the universities? Costs continue to increase. It's more expensive to run these things. As you let more people in, you have to hire more faculty. And there's a lot of issues at play here. So we have some polling data about that, about what the residents of Florida would like to see happen.
We'll look forward to it. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.